rock, though, man. Let's rock, because we know we got limited time on here. I got you for a limited time. What's going on, brother? How's everything going, man?
Everything's going good, man. Everything is good.
So we after we talked about the last slide, we got more structure with it, right? So I know we've been talking about mental health behind the scenes multiple times. We had multiple conversations about it. So tell me some of the things you've been dealing with as a mental health. I mean, I guess you could do if you want to reveal personally, but as far as like how important mental health is to running a business.
Man, it's been extraordinary. So I'm actually coming up on my second year anniversary, maybe. I don't know if I'm gonna call it an anniversary, but February 14th, Valentine's Day. I got laid off from my job. And so this is like my second year, coming up to my second year as a full-time entrepreneur. And I really, last year, I would say I doubled down on the whole like exercising, proper mental hygiene, right? Like really, really investing into good mental habits, because entrepreneurship, I've learned that there's a constant battle with keeping your feet on the ground and not overreacting to the highs and lows and the ebbs and flows and the swings that happen in entrepreneurship. You know, you can knock one out of the park one month and then, you know, strike out the next month. So being able to deal with and manage those big emotional swings is something that I've had to figure out myself, and I've had to like dig deep into a lot of that. Another thing that I've also had to wrestle with is this the constant pressure of believing in yourself, if I'm saying that correctly, like just having to be like the biggest believer in self. And I know that we've talked a lot about like imposter syndrome and things of that sort, and going out and unplugging yourself from a job or the system, quote, and being able to venture out on your own and trying to figure out where your next dollar is coming from. And I've had to really, really tap into like mindfulness and being present and not looking into the future or worrying about past mistakes, because I think that's where a lot of my anxiety was stemming from.
Yeah,
real concern for what's going to happen in the future, where my next dollar going to come from, or you know, the past mistake that I may have made, or a decision that I may have made, and there's a regret. Because you'll learn if you're having a journey in entrepreneurship, or if you are an entrepreneur, you learn very quickly that your success is really dependent on, you know, decisions that you make in the business. So being confident in those decisions and being swift and hasty in your decision making is critical in business building and entrepreneurship. So I've had to really center myself and practice meditation and mindfulness and being present and calming techniques, all of this stuff that I've learned a lot about myself in terms of workaholism and perfectionism, that both of those things exist in me. And it probably exists in a lot of artists. And I say artists specifically because I think entrepreneurship is artistry. So practicing good mental hygiene, you know, trying to establish a work-life balance, which is extremely difficult in a startup company, your first year, 2 years, 3 years,
yeah,
finding that balance is difficult. So I've had to develop some real healthy habits. Meditation and journaling is probably the two big things. It's documenting my process, documenting my thoughts, tracking my feelings, being able to understand what's driving those feelings, what are the thoughts that are being seeded in my mind, that are dictating a feeling. Like, so being more connected with self, like all of that's at play when you're running a business, because the biggest challenge is you, yo. you're battling yourself in entrepreneurship. It ain't nothing else but in your mind telling you crazy.
Yeah.
How dare you think that you're about to start a business? How dare you think these people are gonna buy your stuff? You know, you deal with those thoughts. So being able to quiet that voice inside of you and having control over that voice inside of you, I think is critical in a journey of better mental health and hygiene and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I think broadly speaking, I think that's what you talk about is something that we all deal with daily, but I think it really becomes heightened when you eat what you kill. You know what I'm saying? Not to be cliche, right? Like, so when your check and whether you literally eat and pay your bills is when it's all dependent on you and not necessarily somebody else's machine, I think those mental health issues become heightened. I think a perfect example of this, good, bad, and ugly, is Kanye West, man. Like, Kanye West, like, say what you want about him, but, like, even if his belief is in itself is from a negative, not a negative space, and maybe even if his belief is in itself is a defense mechanism, it's crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because the stuff that he's done and said he was going to do and continue to do is really, like, mind-blowing in a way. You know what I'm saying? Because he told everybody what he's going to do. And everybody looked at him crazy. You know what I'm saying? And whether he's, you know, quote unquote, I don't know if you could still say people crazy nowadays, but he's doing what he said he was going to do, man. And I think we see, like, a lot of his mental health issues play out in front of the world, but that's something that we're all dealing with, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that I also feel kind of the same way that Kanye, I don't know, I'm not like a mental health prognosticator or anything. So I don't know to what degree he's struggling with his mental health, but it certainly appears that sometimes he is unstable. And I just know the pressure that you put on yourself to be able to rise to some of those demands that you may have. You know, if you make bold claims and bold accusations and bold, bold things that you say you do, and then being able to rise to be able to do that. That's it's difficult to do that on a public stage when everybody's watching and people are at least waiting.
Waiting for you to fail. Naturally,
I was gonna say, maybe humans, that we a lot of times we're looking for bad news. It's not a coincidence as to why bad news travels faster than good news.
Yeah.
Bad things get more acclaim than good things. I think we're just wired that way. To check for the bad or to look at what we have the capacity to lose versus what we gain.
What we gain, so yeah, absolutely.
When
yeah.
things crash and burn, it's like everybody there to see it. Like, so that kind of pressure is, you feel that pressure, you know? You feel that pressure, you know you are being divergent when you say, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to go up against Nike. I'm going to go up against Adidas, or I'm going to go up against, you know, the big record labels, or, you know, I'm gonna go up against the local businesses that exist in my community.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna go up against them. I'm gonna become a competitor. And these people, these other companies have spent millions and millions of dollars for market share.
Yeah.
And going up against them is a tall task. So, you know, to be able to do it and to stand in it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be proud of myself too.
You gotta start talking your shit, man. If you don't talk it, nobody talking. So, like I said, Kanye is definitely good at that. But I think also is like, it's funny that you say, like, we're wired for the negative. Like, anybody that thinks that they're not, like, read your comments when you post something and just see, like, if you're out there posting stuff that people can be critical of. And you'll scroll past all the positive stuff, like you'll read that, and the one negative joint that you get to, you'd be like, yo, that's crazy. Why did he say that about me? Why did he call me dummy or whatever? And it's like, you have a whole bunch of positive comments before that, and that one negative joint is sticking out to you, like, bang. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's just amazing I don't know all the science behind that, why humans are wired like that, why we focus on the negative, but it is amazing to see it play out in your life, especially on social media. At least for me, when I see like a negative comment, I'm like, damn, yo, why he come at me like that?
Yeah, I still do it, actually. And I got out of customer service because of it, like in my own company. where I was managing customer service, and it was just too personal, you know what I mean? Like, it felt too personal early on, where I was already being like hypercritical of myself. And I think that I can explain a little bit of it for me, because I know it was the perfectionism that lived inside of me that already was trying to strive for every comment being positive, right? Like everybody appreciating what I was doing, everybody liking what I was doing, trying to please like everybody at one time. and in the back of my mind believing like, oh no, it's not good enough. And what's crazy is I didn't believe it was good enough, because I also believe if you're not embarrassed by, you know, what you've put out, if you're not embarrassed by what you put out, then you started too late. I think, I can't remember which startup guy said that, but I'm like, man, that's a fact. Like, so I usually put stuff out before it's ready to go just to collect feedback. And I know it's not a finished product. I know it's not anything that I'm like, all right, this is the final product of it. And I expect people to be critical of it. But even in that, when they are, I'm still like, how dare they say that? Like,
how dare you say my black is not black enough?
Yeah, like, what's wrong with you? Like,
what's wrong with you? Like, yeah.
So I've had to really work on that. So that's another one of those things in the area of mental hygiene and mental health, is one, understanding that if there's anything that you do put out that's worth commenting on, understand that there are going to be negative comments. If people aren't taking the time to really voice their opinion about it in a negative way, then you probably haven't captivated enough people yet.
Yeah.
Because people will. And I know now when some people post something negative, I'm just like, oh, son, just say you can't afford it. Like, just say you want a coupon. It's cool. Yeah. So we'll give you a coupon.
Say you can't afford it. Say you jealous of it. Just say you mad. You know what I'm saying? Just say you mad you ain't think of it. So just say you mad you didn't execute it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know, you're never going to get 100% of the people on your time. And, it's a cliche saying that goes around, like, if everybody is cool with you, you're probably doing something wrong. I don't know who the first person that said it, but which is true. Like, you got to, because if everybody's cool with you, one, I don't know if you're being yourself, because how are you agreeing with everybody? And why does everybody agree with you, right? It's like, right, you don't have no thoughts as ruffling feathers, or you're changing your thoughts every time, your thoughts and opinions every time somebody else, who you're in front of, like, that doesn't seem like a authentic life. You know, authenticity has been trending recently the last couple years, I guess, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, but also I guess that the flip side is that you could also listen to the positive thoughts too, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they all thoughts at the end of the day, coming in, going out. So you could choose to focus on the negative, or you could choose to focus on the positive. And I think it's something that is an ongoing battle as long as you're alive. It seems like that to me. Like, which voice do I listen to? You know what I mean? So I don't know.
And I try not to give either. I try not to overweight either of them, you know, internally or externally, you know, just to say, hey, I'm so it's funny, because now I'm thinking of like just goal setting. And like, when you set a goal, and when you know what the path forward to get to that goal, that helps, because it's just like, all right, people really don't know at what station you are in your goal, or where you at in your process. So they don't know, right? They're commenting from whatever their perspective is, or whatever they're projecting, or whatever they've internalized, and they're offering that. So, I read that book, The Four Agreements.
Okay, yeah, right.
One of them is like, don't take things personal.
Don't take it personal. Yeah, yeah.
Like, don't make assumptions with your word, and always do your best. And I think like that, don't make assumptions, don't make it personal, is directly related to, you know, some of the feedback and commentary you get on things that you might put out, or your thoughts, your opinions. And when people, you know, speak on them, you know, it's a lot of times we assume that they're coming from a place, they're assuming that we're coming from a place, and then it's personal, and then we want to attack back, or we want to bite back. And it's like, most of the time people are just really, you know, they're projecting something that they're feeling internally, or they've arrived at that thought for whatever reason, and I'm more curious on how they arrived at the thought versus the actual thought at hand. Most people don't even take the time to really understand where their thoughts derive from anyway.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah.
So going on that journey is much more fun than, you know, the final thought that people arrive to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's something that people should definitely stay aware of. But also, like, I think it needs to be said that, like, social media is not real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, people giving you clips of their thoughts and belief systems, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and obviously we're in the social media space, right? Social media Pandora's box has been open. I don't know if there's any going back unless you just completely unplug. But But run doing what the business that we do that we're both into, I don't know if we can avoid it. If, well, you definitely can't avoid it. I don't know if I can't avoid no one. If you're in business for yourself, you can't avoid social media. Like it's gonna, you gotta play a part somehow in your business structure. I believe. I don't know what business structure that it wouldn't play a part in off top. But it's just, yeah, just like realizing that you don't know where these people are coming from. You don't even know if these things are genuine. Like a lot of times I think people be saying stuff with shock value on social media. Definitely on Twitter. Definitely on Twitter. Facebook, I don't know, because I can see your face and all that. Facebook, yeah. People are definitely saying stuff for shock value. They might not even necessarily believe what they're telling you about your product or your service, but because they have a voice and they want to be provocative, for lack of a better word, like they could just go hard on it. You know what I mean? That can mess up your mental space if you take that. But like you said, don't take it too personal. Like, don't take nothing personal, really.
Yeah, like that's I've really tried to subscribe to that, and at least not from strangers, you know, at least from people that you haven't established any kind of rapport from, or you don't have any kind of relationship with, where hey, this person is just a person talking on a post, and the post it's got wild engagement, and they want to get a piece of the action. That's mostly what's happening is people, you know, hey, there's a lot of comments on here. I want to get my comment on here because I want people to see. I want people to go to my page. So I'm going to say something that's going to incite, you know, emotions on this post. I'm going to be a provocateur on this post. And so that's at play too. So yeah. I've had to learn that very well. And I think that speaks also to having a healthy relationship, you know, with self, and also understanding that what you're working on and having a larger and bigger purpose. And what you're working on, like I said, you know where you're at in your journey, and whatever you're building, and so other people don't know, they're not in tune with that. You know, they don't know, you know, the hours that you might have put in to be able to create something or not. So again, like yeah, you're right. Like don't take it personal.
Definitely. All right, switching gears a little bit because I know we totally be consistent with the time. So you started your company, it was just you, right? Well, tell people. I don't know how much you want to reveal about the past brand, the company, but tell people because we're going into the team building part, building the teams, and tell people how you got your start with the clothing. Whatever you want to reveal about the other brand is up to you. No pressure.
Yeah. So it actually, man, I did this recently, man, where I went through every year of my life. That I'm actually doing this in real time. Like over the last week, I've done this. And we'll have to talk about this tool. It's called Rome Researcher. I want to tell people about this tool. It's my second brain. But anyway, I've been really documenting every year of my life, taking notes on all the things that I could remember just from each year, right? So I've gone back as far as 2009.
So what is it called? Writing. What is it called?
It's called Rome Research.
Rome Research. And, how you spell it? Like regular Rome?
ROAM and then research. So you get like a trial, like a 100-day trial, and it's like $165 a year. Okay. But you know, it's the best piece of software I've ever used in my life. So have you ever heard of Notion?
The best piece of software you ever used in your life?
Best software I've ever used in my life.
So ROAM research.
Yeah, it's a personal knowledge management system.
Personal knowledge management. Okay, I'm gonna look up that soon. You held that one out. That's the first time you're telling me about that. How long you been using
it? Oh, that's dope. I've been using it since, so I started December 22nd, I think.
Okay, so I ain't that mad at you. You just started it. Okay.
Over time, it's developed, and I'm sure we can do a whole live session on it because it's that powerful. Like I feel like they should hire me as a spokesman because it's my second brain, yo. Like it's really. Yeah. It captures all your thoughts. And if you're a person who likes Wikipedia, or if you're a person who just loves history or research, and if you're a person who has a lot of tabs up open on your screen, you look at like,
yeah, absolutely.
50 tabs open. And then you're thinking like, damn, like, I can't remember what connected this. How did I go down this rabbit hole? Uh-huh. Rome Research is a tool that allows you to connect those things. Like, so you can backlink and create your own internal kind of Wikipedia. So anyway, I've been documenting like all the years that I can remember of my life. So 2009, I'm just putting, you know, what was happening in that time? What was I working on? Where was I working at? Like, who was I dating? You know, who were my friends? Like, just things. And I was thinking about my company now, Heritage Hill, and like, how did it start? Like, how did I get to this point? And I had forgotten that right before Heritage Hill, there was a company called Black Twitter Tees that I was working on. Like, so I have a real huge fascination with Black Twitter, yo. I just think it's, I think it's like the Freedom's Journal. Like, if I had to have a reference, like, for what it was, how powerful it is, just what it's been able to do to bring awareness to just the culture, you know, like entertainment, politics. It's really a platform that has helped me out, has educated me, and it's given social commentary from a lot of great minds, and it just keeps me aware and abreast of all the things happening in the culture. So I'm like, all right, so what if, you know, there was like an apparel line that kind of echoed what Black Twitter represented, right? It was like the fashion of resistance. And I was making all kind of stuff, right? I was making like pop culture tees. I was making like requests, and I worked my way into like the Pan-African stuff and making my ancestor proud. And so it started with that. It started with Black Twitter tees, and I wanted to really like create something more holistic, something that wasn't using the name Black Twitter, but at least represented that kind of stuff. And the one thing that I think centered all of us around it was our heritage. It was like, all right, yo, like Heritage Hill. So that's kind of how it started with me. I wanted to make t-shirts that just had like dope slogans on it. Like, and I was doing custom t-shirts for people on my Facebook friends list. And then that evolved into doing stuff for high schools, that evolved into doing stuff for colleges. And, you know, here we are now doing stuff for colleges and high schools and fraternities and sororities. So that's how I kind of jumped into it. But I did it solo for a minute, and then I did it with myself and two virtual assistants for maybe the first year and a half. And only now am I at a point now where it's okay, you know, we got a warehouse space, we got a 2,500 square foot warehouse space. Uh-huh. We got, you know, a part-time person, a full-time person, some online. So now we're starting to develop our different channels. We got some inbound stuff, some outbound. Uh-huh. You know, the team needs to grow. And so the most difficult thing for me in team building has been transitioning from a doer to a delegator.
Okay.
And that's a huge area of opportunity for me because I'm violence of action. You know, like I'm like, all right, like get it done. And now having to take what's in my mind, the know-how and way of doing things, and now putting it out into official processes and systems so that other people can do it. Mm-hmm. That's really what's going to be critical for me in growing the team, is being able to take, like I said, what's out of my mind and make it operational for other people.
We were talking about the standard operation procedures. We were talking about building that for you and, you know, doing a, because really that's when you know you have a business, right? Is when you really know that you could just walk away from it and it runs on its own. Like, so I told you about the E-Myth, right? Entrepreneur myth.
Yeah. I read that.
Okay. E-Myth. Yeah, and you know, he says, you know, start every, treat your business like it's going to be franchised from day one. And basically, like, the premise of it is, just for people that, you know, listening or watching it, is that you set your business up and you put systems in place so that it can be franchised. Therefore, or thus, you can walk away from it or franchise it, and it runs exactly how it's going to run in 50,000 locations, whatever. So he uses Ray Kroc as an example, and Ray Kroc is
McDonald's, right?
Yeah, McDonald's, yep. Ray Kroc is he's not the founder of McDonald's, but he brought McDonald's, the original one, and then he franchised it. And that's why every place you go in the world, McDonald's burger is always the same, because he has the standard operating procedure. He has the systems in place. And that's when you know you got a business, when you could just, you know, put plug and play anybody into it and it's running on its own.
Like, so obviously, I got a quote from the E-Myth, yo. Like, I got a quote that I said I was looking for. It was like, a system is a set of things, action, ideas, and information that interest with each other, and in so doing, alter other systems. And I had saved that because that's where I'm at now, and other systems being like the other people, and them being able to plug into that. So people should definitely read that book, man, about the E-Myth.
You know what? I'm gonna do a giveaway, man. I'm gonna give that book to somebody, man. I'm gonna give that book to somebody. I'm gonna do a little I'm going to do a little not raffle, but a little I'll figure it out. I'm gonna give it away to somebody though. Because I think that's an excellent book to read. Like, and it's fast. It's not even long. Yeah. It's a fast read. Yeah, it's a fast read. And I think it's one of them things that everybody should, if you're going down that entrepreneurship journey, I think it's something that you should all read, because people want to talk about, like, you know, working in the business versus working on the business. You know what I mean? I think he make a distinction in there, right? So it's like most of us, oh, bro, you just going to stun on me? I see the new jacket, yeah, with the logo.
Oh, we got all kind of jackets. You know, that you just prompted me to show another jacket, and I was waiting for a prompt. So, yeah, you know, let me show the jackets. So this is going to be the spring wave. It's like the light jacket. It's a windbreaker.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
More heavier jacket.
Made in Africa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see, man. Yeah, you gonna lean back. I see you, man. He got the logo on the side and everything. You didn't show me that before.
Yeah, you know, man. I can't let him stay on top of
you,
man.
So we supposed to have something for the people, man. I don't have it yet. I don't know if you have it.
Not yet, man. So I've been getting slaughtered for Black History Month, actually.
Okay, that's a good thing though for you though.
It's been crazy, man. Like, plus, you know, it really happened. We were down for 3 days. So
because
I ran
snow.
Out of embroidery paper for 3 days. I ran out of paper, man. And we didn't go in production for like 3 days. So
okay.
I'm catching up from those 3 days. And we should be caught up by the end of the week. And then I got your stuff going in the run this week. So it should ship out.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to, I think the next time, I mean, we learned on the fly, but I think the next time I'm going to go with live stream, because I keep going back to check make sure we haven't gotten any questions or anything on Facebook, because you can't see the comments on Facebook, but I need to see them side by side while we're talking, because Facebook is definitely, it looks like it's like 5 minutes behind or something crazy.
Yeah, so the lag is crazy, right?
Yeah, I didn't know. I know we talked, you said that before we got on here, but I didn't know it was that crazy. But anyway, we're going to still push through, though. So the building a team. So what are some, like, takeaways that you have learned as it relates to when you realize, like, your skills and where you lack when this comes to building a team? Because you're dumping everything. What are some things that people should keep in mind? Let me rephrase it, when they're building the team. Like, so you know, like, your strengths and weaknesses, right? Like, so what have you noticed, learned about your strengths and weaknesses? That's the first part. And then what advice would you give people when they're going about, when they get to the point where they got it, they're building a team?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is it's real critical to take an inventory of your strengths and weaknesses. To get very, very sober-minded about where you're strong and what those are, and then like where your areas of opportunity are. HR people always tell me, don't name weaknesses, but areas of opportunity. but identifying those, man, being honest with yourself about what it is that you know that you're good at. So first circuit, I would take an inventory. And that might mean asking people that you've worked with before, or asking your friends and colleagues about, hey, what is it that I'm good at? You know, what is it that appears to come natural to me? And I ask people that, like, hey, and you'll see a theme that people say, hey, you know, you're pretty good at being able to, you know, think on your feet, right? You're pretty good at problem solving. You're pretty good at being able to connect, you know, different dots. I'm able to catch on. I got a real diverse set of skills and knowledge. I've had probably in my lifetime like 80 jobs, man. I'm actually a terrible employee.
Yeah, you had 80 jobs, son?
Mad jobs. Like, since I started working, I was like 14. I've been at like 80 jobs, man. Just stuff, you know, temp services, like pizza delivery, like manufacturing, like all kinds of stuff. But I took an inventory, like, all right, yeah. These kind of things appear to come easy to me, but also I'm a scatterbrain kind of person. I play in the clouds. I'm a big ideas guy, and I worry about the details later. So for me, I require a partner who is detail-oriented, detail-centered, who likes to be able to cross all the T's, dot all the I's, people who are compliant, people who are legal, people who just think in a way that's more process-oriented. Hey, we're going to go from A to B to C, where I'm a, hey, you know, we might go A, B, and then I'm going to check out what's happening at W, and then
yeah,
go back to Q, R, S. So that's just how I've learned. That's just how my mind works. So being able to have a person who provides some structure around that is good for me. So I think when you're building a team, it's important to look for complementary skills.
Okay.
Things that complement you, you know, not necessarily overlap. I think a lot of times, especially if you're an extrovert or you're a sales driven or sales kind of person, you look for other type A sales driven kind of outgoing, hyper ambitious people, and y'all all running as fast as y'all can, and then it's a hot mess on the back end, right? And the paperwork is right, like everything is disorganized.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for you not to look for people who have the same skill set as yourself. But in order to do that, you got to know your skill set. So that's what I've had to really, really tap into and be honest about myself and say, you know what, I'm actually not that good at that. You know, I actually don't enjoy doing this, whatever that thing is. And for me, it's really the micro, more granular details of things, you know. It's like, well, how are we going to do that? And I'm like, well, I don't know yet. I just had the idea. And a person who's like, okay, well, this is the budget that it requires. This is, you know, how we're going to source that. This is how, with the resources, this is. So Six Sigma kind of person, you know, that's not really me. So I think that I would say that is looking for complementary skills. And also I think that equally it's as important to enjoy working with the person. Like I'm not really a person who feels like, oh, because they have a certain skill set and they get the job done, I want to work with them. I like, if I can't go out and like have a beer with you, then I probably won't work with you. So, I think that for me and team building and having that company culture is something that I'm really thinking about now, is what kind of atmosphere and culture do we want to create as a company? What kind of people do we want to attract? What kind of talent do we want to have? Are all things that I'm considering right now as well.
Oh God. Okay. Yeah. You hit on, culture. That's a major one. And, I think, there's a saying that it's completely terrible, and I don't know where it started from, but people say business is never personal. It's like, nah, B, business is always personal. Like you can never, whether you're talking about the marketing of it, whether you're talking about your customers, like you want these people to have a personal connection with your brand. Like obviously, you know, there are situations. So on the customer end, it's always personal, right? Because you have the demographics of who you're aiming for. And how are you going to reach these people? Where are they? Where will they go? Like, what are they reading? What are they watching? So that's always personal, right? That's in the marketing and sales is like the lifeblood of your company. But also beyond that is like, when you're working with somebody, I think it's easier. It's a relationship at the end of the day, right? We don't, you know, I mean, the relationship means many things. So it's like, if you're not having, that's a great point. I never thought about it, but if you're not enjoying working with the person, especially when you have a hard team, I mean, a small team, like, is that person worth bringing on? You know what I'm saying? Regardless of the skill set. I never thought about that.
Honestly. Yeah, I would say, so some people, I think there's different philosophies, and I saw one person that posted on Instagram. It might have been like Marlon Wayans or somebody was on some show, and he was saying that, hey, you know, Black people, you know, we need to get over the fact that of not wanting to work with people that we don't like. You know, do they get the job done? You know, if they get the job done, if they do well, then, you know, never mind if you don't like them. And while I guess I understand the philosophy, sometimes you have someone who is a specialist and this is the only person that can do it, and you absolutely have to work with them. But You know, I don't really subscribe to the idea of working with people who I don't particularly enjoy. You know, I think that for me it stops at least the flow of information for me, and I just haven't been able to do that. And I'd love to hear like some like competing thoughts and ideas around that, because his argument was that people of, you know, other cultures, they're able to separate their differences and work together. And while I think that's important in like coalition building, like if I got my tribe and you got your tribe and we want to be able to work together because we have to, but internally inside of my tribe, I'm not thinking that way. You know, I'm like, nah, like we kind of at least all have the same core value system.
Yeah.
And ethics and morals, like these things I think are important.
Nah, I think they are,
especially for my company.
And I think also I gotta think, this is what I hate. Hate is a strong word, but I'm gonna use it anyway. This is what I hate about Black commentary sometimes within the Black for coming from Black people and coming from outside the community, as if we are not like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, as if we, obviously there's difference, right? There's ethnic, there's cultural differences. That's everybody though, right? But as if like we are some exception to the rule when it comes to not wanting to work with people because that we don't like. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, like I, Marlon, you know what I'm saying? Like, you think every ethnic group is working with people that they don't like? You know what I'm saying? Like, you think we're the only people that, and that's a broad general statement anyway, but you think that we're the only people that was like, nah, we're not going to work with somebody we don't like? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And just like, and we do that all the time. Like, so, I see like somebody posted recently in my I saw it come up on my Twitter feed, right? It was like I wish Black people was like Black people always taking a challenge. Let's do a stick together challenge or something like that. And this is like, bro, you think like you think all white people stick together? Like what magical group do you think that sticks together in a massive amount of people? Where, first of all, who do you think does that, and where are these people? You know what I'm saying? Like, point me to the map of where they at. So you think it's you think Republican, even if you're doing like political, you think all Republicans stick together, all Democrat? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not how the way human beings work. And it's just like, for whatever reason, society has, and we always say, like, you know, Black people, we strengthen white supremacy just by the way we talk sometimes, right? So it's like, you know, it's a white supremacist in my head, like it's, you're inferior, like, so you're starting from an inferior position, so you're saying like, yo, Black people can't stick together. Why? It's really the only question, only answer you're gonna come up with is because they Black. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's something about just saying that, and you know, it's always, you always can push back, because like, yo, where we are, the Black community, however you want to define that, is a microcosm of what's going on in the world. Like, obviously there's going to be cultural difference, and there's going to be your products of your environment and all that type of stuff. But for the most part, we have the same feelings that everybody else has. So it is one of them things that, you know, I'm not surprised he said it, but I wish we would stop saying it, but we're not.
Yeah. And then so I'll be evaluating like, well, and I to some degree, I'm like, all right, I get it. I'm evaluating like what his interpretation of like is too, you know, because there's some people who could just, you know, generally rub you the wrong way, right? Like they're just kind of a person who's, you know, maybe they have like a real dry sense of humor, they're just kind of, you know, satirical, like they're just, maybe they just got a rain cloud over their head. Like sometimes these kind of people do weigh on me, but you know, if they're like they do good work and they're a good person, right? Mm-hmm. We just have some communication differences or something like that. All right, that's manageable. Yeah. But I felt like he was going to the position of like Black people are, like what you're saying, like this homogenous group of people, and we just all supposed to be kumbaya without any differences in race, class, and gender. Which is things that also, you know, plague us as a community as well, right? Like, so it would have been better. I think what he was saying is more nuanced than making those kind of sweeping generalizations. I think you kind of share the same sentiment. It's just annoys you. Like, come on, bro. Like, come on, man.
Like, I think that although Ari obviously or not, like, there is a shared experience just from being in America. Although that shared experience is very diverse, if that makes sense. Because depending on where you at, like, your experience in the Midwest growing up is going to be different than my experience in the Northeast growing up. And you know, being a Black woman is going to be different than being a Black man. But, you know, above that, there is some shared experience. But, yeah, I just think the commentary that we often put out there ourselves, from wherever we get it from, strengthens white supremacy, in my opinion. Because it's like you said, man, like,
that's,
you know what I'm saying? So it's like your condition been conditioned. What homie said in the movie? My condition has been conditioned, brother. When he was talking about, like, the white women.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So I think that's something.
My condition has.
Yeah. Condition. So, I mean, I'll be going. I mean, we could go on a tangent about that. So I think we're coming up on an hour, though. Let me see if there's any questions people have. I don't know how many people actually tuned in. But, damn, we're not going to be able to do it because it's not live. I mean, it's live, but it's not live. It's a delay. So we know what we got to do the next time. We got to figure out StreamYard. I'll figure out StreamYard on my end and get it popping like that. Oh, you got me. I hear me. That's how delayed it is?
Yeah, so I just happened to jump on Facebook just to see, like, because I can put it up on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I just was curious. But, yeah, it's a delay on it. But it's all good.
Yeah. So what you have any parting words until next Wednesday?
So I think the last point we was gonna touch on, I'll use it as my parting, is having an exit strategy.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna go in there because I didn't know how much time you had, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'll do it as some parting words, and I think that's important that always when you do begin in business building, it's important to think about how you do exit out of the company, at least into the guts, the everyday actions of your company. Because ultimately what you want to build is something that generates value and creates revenue to help support, you know, you and your family. And the best way to do that, and you have to be thinking about what's the best way of do that without me doing everything and doing that.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people think of exit strategies, oh, you know, how do I sell for $20 million at the end of the road? But I think even prior to that, it's how do I not dedicate 15 hours to it every day, which is what you'll be doing, you know, in the first couple of years. You know, how do I start to scale back and duplicate myself to be able to work on, you know, other channels or other divisions or other businesses? Like, how do I develop, you know, this as a single revenue stream? And I think people get too invested in one channel or one line of business or one revenue stream instead of saying, all right, how do I build this? And maybe I want to make $10,000 a month. And how do I do that? Maybe it doesn't all come from this one singular business. It's this one does 2,000. I free myself up from it and I go build something else. And that one does 2,000. I free myself up from that. And now this one goes and does 5,000 because you start to get better as you get more experience as an entrepreneur. So I think always starting and saying, okay, how do I start to free myself up? How do I start to, you know, hire for the positions that I'm doing? And in order to do that, it requires you to have a really, really, really good understanding of what you're doing and documenting that and coming up with, you know, the systems and processes that you like to say, right? The operating manual of how to do it. So I think that's really important. And I didn't take that serious enough when I first started. And now, you know, I'm hyper aware of that, especially as things start to grow and you need to duplicate yourself.
Yeah.
So that would be at least my parting shots on just something to think about and consider.
That's some great parting words, man. I'm glad something I said stuck with you about the systems and processes and all that type of good stuff. But I think, broadly, you had, like you said, like, have multiple streams. So you're not, you're not dependent on one stream. And we talked about that. We ain't gonna reveal like the attorney client stuff we talked about, but like, so if a company, you know, just say like Ralph Lauren, like, so Ralph Lauren just doesn't make clothes, you know what I'm saying? Like, so he licensed his name out to make, he may, his company may actually just make the clothes, right? But he licenses his stuff, his name and his likeness to other things, like, you know, paint, you know what I'm saying? Like, so when the clothing is not going right, painting might still be doing anything, you know what I'm saying? Or right. Wallpaper or whatever else he got, like, you know, beach towels. And I just think, you know, as you grow and as people should keep in mind, like, you know, there's other avenues. You should master one, but once you kind of sort of know like how to make money, quote unquote, like, it's really just about building and expanding it and taking that expertise into other things that make sense within your business. So like, you know, like I tell people, like, you know, your business may not be what you think it is right now. So for example, I gave Amazon, right? Amazon started off as an online bookseller. Like now, like, how much do they even really make off books? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Like that's not, I doubt like they make 10% of their money from books. You know what I mean? Like, so now they're
small.
If it might not even be 5%, it might not even be 10%. I mean, it might not even be 1% of their income. So now they're into, you know, web
AWS host. Is probably the biggest revenue.
AWS, I'm saying, yeah. So AWS, they're into that. They're into content, you know, they're into, you know, really, I think their biggest business is just the data, you know what I'm saying? The data, yeah. Data is like the new oil, yeah. the new That's the real crypto that y'all should be trying to figure out how to get it to. Like, that's that real, like, if you can figure out how to use that data and manipulate that data, I mean, you could do it in good, bad, and ugly ways, but I think it's really just, I think the data and the attention is really where they're probably killing. Like you said, AWS, AWS probably is their number one thing right now. It's probably
they're crushing on AWS, and probably because the margins, like, it doesn't cost a lot to run cloud services.
And AWS like stands for Amazon Web. Amazon Web Services, right? That's what it stands for.
Yeah.
It just forgets people.
It's
don't
like
know.
Running manufacturing and warehouses is a lot of capital. It's capital intensive. But cloud services, it's just the tech. All you need is a tech stack and some developers, and the scale is unlimited scale.
It's unlimited scale. So I'll be telling people like, my stuff is in the cloud. I say, you know, somebody, your stuff is in the cloud just means that it's on somebody else's hard drive. That's all it is.
Somebody else's server, right?
It's not. It's still somewhere on somebody's server. It's not like you may have got rid of it, but there's no quote unquote cloud anywhere where it's just up in the sky.
That's funny, yo.
Yeah, so I'll be telling people. But anyway, I think that's the good part in words. I think this was a good one. We figure out the kinks. This is only our second one, so.
It's only our second one, man. It's gonna get better. If you're not embarrassed by the first things that you put out, you started too late.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, like, your first whatever, however many chances you're gonna do is gonna be trash anyway. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's hot garbage and hot trash. It just means that the more you do it, the better you just become. Like, I for whatever reason, we forget that when we become adults. Like if you was a basketball player, like, you wasn't just dumb nice out the gate. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if you was football player or you was an artist, you started drawing. Like, I mean, obviously there's talent levels where people start off, but if you go back and look at your first free throw, your first drawing that you ever did, it was trash.
Garbage.
Yeah. It was straight garbage.
Keep the beginner's mindset.
But you know what it is? And I'm gonna end on this, I think, people gotta stop, like you say. You phrased it differently, but people gotta stop trying to not be embarrassed and not fail. Like, that's where the growth is at. Is in embarrassment, is in the failures. That's where the growth is at. And I'll leave it on that. But stay on, man, because I don't want to lose you real quick. I'm just gonna try to end this live.
All right, cool. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Everybody that tuned in.
Yeah, everybody that tuned in, and put your questions
and
in.
And make sure y'all hit Heritage Hill and go copy.
Oh, yeah, drop your stuff. Drop your stuff. Drop your stuff.
Everything on the site right now is buy one, get one half off for Black History Month. We blacked out the whole site, too. So, Black on Black, for a lot of items. We got licenses with 20 different HBCUs. So your school might be on there. If not, we're working on it. So we're doing all black on black items. Buy one, get one half off, www.heritagehill.co.
All right,
follow us on the gram.
Follow him on the gram. And now I'm going to drop. So I have a my official newsletter that I have. I'm going to stick with. It's sendfox.com/thebethea, T-H-E-B-E-T-H-E-A. Join my newsletter. I'm also pretty easy to find on. I guess if you're following this, you got all my information. But the entrepreneurship boot camp is up. Right now, we're just focusing on women and minorities, because I'm trying to get people to get this to do more, to look beyond this PPC money and start really utilizing the SBA and getting these government contracts, these private contracts. So that information is up. The thing is on Eventbrite, and no, it's not free. I don't think it's expensive, but you may. If it's too expensive, then it's not for you. Just to be completely honest. And yeah, man, let's keep going, man. And I'll put everything down in the links, because like I said, I'm just getting used. You just sent me your bio too, so I'm just gonna have that as the placeholder. You know what I'm saying? Like for future events, like all our links in there. All right, man. Till next time, people. All right, cool. Thanks for tuning in. All right.